Do begin.
Hey, what is up, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Social Primate Podcast. Again, we're back from the EOTR studio. Feels nice to be back. We're here just having a little session and with a very special person. We got Kid Barrett.
What's up, man? How's it going?
Hey, dude, what is up, man?
Thanks for having me.
Dude, I feel like we've been planning this for like over a year or so.
Oh, yeah. As soon as I saw your page come up, I was like, this guy's with the, you know, the community.
Yeah.
And I was like, I really want to talk to him.
Yeah. Hey, thank you for staying in touch. And I was mentioning earlier with my previous guest, was that it's cool to see people who are consistent with their art form, right? And in your case, you know, you do music, you're a musician, artist, and overall just a creative, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's really, again, it speaks a lot about a person. I think when they stay consistent with something that they start, and they continue to kind of push through it regardless of the fucking obstacles that come up, right? And again, we're here a year and a half later, finally fucking managed to get this done. I think you just came out of Arizona. Wait, was Arizona, was it?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Southeast LA. Uh-huh. I was actually like, I just drove by Whittier. I was born right here in the doctor's hospital on Whittier Boulevard.
Oh shit, okay, so fucking local.
Yeah, I'm a local, you know. But recently they're like, by the pandemic time, like right before the pandemic, I kind of like, took a break, mm-hmm. Moved to Arizona for a bit, and actually got a lot of work done, you know? So it was very beneficial to just kind of step away from the city for that I've been in for 25 years, you know? And I was like, but at the end of the day, the ideas were all still coming from here, you know, mm-hmm. where they were born.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, what was the question?
About staying consistent, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, with all that, you know, the trials and tribulations that come with just being a regular person in LA, you know what I mean? Or in life, like, you're going to have things that want to set you back. And mm-hmm. I've had them all, including, like, you know, even, like, just familial stuff, you know, because, mm-hmm. you know, being Latino is, like, you're kind of also fighting. Not only are you fighting, like, against the world, but sometimes you fight your own family because they don't understand, you know, the... just like a newer art form that is being created by us, you know, and they may, because something is not rendering money at the moment, they may think like it's not, you know, it might be a waste of time, worthless, you know, but we're putting in the work, you know, and that's what being consistent is all about.
Yeah, exactly.
It's about setting little seeds around the community. And honestly, the main thing for me is just being positive towards others. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Because, it comes back. It's like I said, it's a seed you're planting that later will grow. And I run into people that I'm like, dude, we played a show together, or I booked you, you know, a while back. And mm-hmm. I just love booking anyone who's like you said, an artist who puts the time and effort. And I just see them as an, you know, entity, a creative entity that is just going to feed off. It just keeps the ball rolling. You know?
Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah. I mean, for sure. Your art in some way or another, it's going to inspire somebody, and then that they inspire somebody. And
we all got inspired by someone. You know what I mean? So it's pretty cool when, you know, you get other people that are like, man, you inspired me. And I'm like, dude, like, well, that guy inspired me. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's kind of, I'm in that place right now where I'm like looking at who inspires me. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it's just work ethic. You know what I mean? Yeah. Having that work ethic, no matter what. Whether you come home from work, like there was a time where I was, we were living in our apartment in Hollywood, and I was working at a restaurant, and I mean, I would get out like around, I would say like two o'clock.
In the morning?
Yeah, in the morning, because we had to wait for everyone to leave. It was a bar, you know, mm-hmm. they had open bar. So you'd be there waiting for people, you know, to go home and stuff, whatever. You clean up. Now it's like 3 o'clock. What I would do is in the beginning of that, those songs, mm-hmm. the first EP that I put out, I was drinking espresso right at 2 o'clock, dude. I would take an espresso just because I knew if I went home, I could get some work done, dude, like for another 3, 4, 5 hours.
Yeah.
And it's kind of crazy. I mean, it's almost like a legal drug, you know what I mean? Because I stayed up, man, for a couple hours, but I felt so accomplished when the sun was coming up that I'm like, okay, I got a little closer on that song, you know, that I wanted to finish.
Yeah, I love hearing that because there's this thing that I've been seeing on fucking Instagram that's trying to shame that cycle of what people do sometimes, like,
right,
oh, like, you make up for your time because you stay up late, like, you know, it's like this fucking guilt thing.
Oh yeah, they're trying to be like, you have to sleep this long or do this and this, and actually, like, everyone's body kind of works different, you know what I mean?
I mean, for sure, I think once you get adjusted to something, your body's just gonna be like, all right, this is the new way, right?
And when you're hungry, you already know you're hungry for something, you'll wake up early for it, uh-huh, and then you'll go up late for it, you
exactly
know what I mean,
yeah,
as well. So
like for myself, like, you know, I do a full-time job as well, so like right after work, I you know, fortunately for me, I don't have to get off at fucking 2, you know, but
oh, cool,
I get off and I'm getting home, I fucking do my workout, I do my fucking podcast shit, my research, whatever it is, but I'm still putting in the hours to my own, right, personal air quote job, my thing,
exactly,
that I'm finding time even after I have to do all this mundane just fucking adult stuff. I have
that's
time
where
to
the money comes from.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah. So. You exactly. Yeah. It's important to remember that you still have to have a source of income, first
the
of all.
The income is very important.
And then figuring out what to do with that income, and then at the same time progressing your own, I don't want to say career, but like your own, I'll call it art form.
Yeah, and it's tough because that's the whole starving artist thing, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like, we're going to have a hard time trying to, you know, work for the system, mm-hmm, and also put up, work, try to build our own little empire, you know what I mean? And by empire is just our passion empire, you know, like,
yeah,
it's all just coming from the heart. But I think when people, like you said, really push through, really stay consistent, like I said, like I've had family like tell me like, no, you're not gonna do that, and I'm like, dude, like I want to do it, you know what I mean? So like the way you see me standing here before you, like, you know, with my skulls and stuff, like, dude, like, it's just, you have to just be you, man. Like, you know, you just gotta go for it. Like, I really appreciate that about what I'm seeing lately in art is that everyone's just kind of doing their own unique little thing, and they are taking inspiration from other things, like we said. But I'm seeing a lot of, like, I don't know, very unique artists lately, and they're just relying on themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Dude, it's because, I mean, first and foremost, it's just hard, you know, having the drive to fucking create, you know, like you said, some people are like, no, I don't want to go home and fucking put some more time into things. I want to just rest. Mm-hmm. I want to chill.
And it does get you depending on what you do.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I fucking play video games every now and then. Like, I was just playing some Star Wars game a few days ago, you know?
Yeah, totally.
I sat on my ass for like 3 hours just fucking
you
killing.
You want to know what I've been playing? I got a hold of a PlayStation with a bunch of the old games. Like, basically, like,
one of the OG PlayStations?
Yeah, the PS2, a PS2.
Oh, shit,
with
nice.
Basically, like, an array of games that is, like, a GameStop. It looks like a wall of GameStop, you know, a GameStop. So I'm like, what do I want to play? I've been playing, like, Warriors.
Oh, dude, the fucking, the movie one, Warriors,
the movie,
right?
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, dude, I'm going to go watch the movie game again, you know what I mean? So, video games, it's not a, dude, that's, it feels like you time.
It
moment,
does, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and again, it's cool to have those escapes too, you know, because it kind of just does a reset. Like, I don't have to focus on, you know, like, I get home, so like I was mentioning, sometimes I'll sit down, play a video game, whatever, and then after that, I'll be like, okay, now time to work. You know, pop up my fucking iPad, start sketching something out.
Totally.
Editing, whatever it is, you know?
I've heard that, like, if you can separate those things, like, play, work, and rest, those are your main things, like... And like that's what we were talking about, resting, you know, with people with the hours, playtime, which is just hanging
just
out,
for, yeah,
playing
yeah,
video
for
games,
yourself.
You know, smoking a J and just kicking back, or and then your work, which could be the work you have to do to survive, or your own work.
Yeah,
to
so it's like
yourself.
A trifecta of things.
Yeah, man. Like for me, the thing that did it, man. I don't know if you're a big. I mean, I don't read as much as I would like to. Because it's hard for me to sit down, like you said, have a time and just smoke, you know, just read a book, you know, and sit down quietly and read a book. But when I used to read a lot, dude, like growing up, you know, that was kind of my escape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that was at some point my tune. I mean, I'll be reading fucking weird books and stuff, like fucking.
Oh, yeah.
You know. Well,
yeah.
I can't even think of them right now. There's something investigators, just these two guys, these two brothers
who
investigated
right on,
shit.
Right on.
That
is
was
it
my
the Hardy?
Thing.
The Hardy Boys?
Oh, no, the Hardy Boys?
The Hardy Boys, I think, right?
Yeah,
is it?
Yeah, because they're also a fucking wrestling team. But
yeah, and that's the Hardy Boys are fucking, oh, yeah.
But that was my thing, right?
I'll be blood is thicker than wood. You think I don't know, man? I love wrestling, bro.
Do you want some of this?
Yeah, there you go.
So
Mirage, if you want some too, man.
Why I brought up
sorry, go freaking.
No, you're good. The reason why I brought up the books was because The Alchemist is, and that's one of my songs called Alchemist, is literally the video was based on this book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because the when I read that book, man, it just like taught me that we all have like a legacy, a legend to fulfill, here. Whether it be, you know, you're the baker. Well, you're going to make the best bread anyone's ever tasted. You know what I mean? In our case, like if you're saying the podcast, I'm going to make a podcast that, you know, that people enjoy. That people really can sit down with and enjoy. You know, for me, it just opened up like, what are you here for? You know what I mean? Like, what's your thing? And we all have something, regardless of what it is. And it's not bigger than the other thing, you know? That's kind of what that book taught me. And I was young, dude. I was like in ninth grade.
Dude.
So that's when that was also when I was really starting to pick up the guitar.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I want in, you know what I mean? So that helped me a lot to just kind of be like, dude, I'm here to make, you know, to make art, to just make the world a prettier place. You know what I mean? Or as much as we can, you know what I mean?
You know, it's funny because that sounds like the mind of an artist, you know, like of a creative, like that's what you want to do. Cause it feels like it's sometimes bigger than what you can gain monetarily or something, you know, like something's at a surface level. You're legit looking to make an impact.
Totally.
And it's, you know, again, going back to the whole inspiration or shit. The inspiration thing is like, you're going back to that. Like you want to make people feel something, you know? And that in itself is just fucking bigger than itself, bigger than life.
It's bigger than us, man. Yeah. It's almost like we know this, like we're the vessels for it. You know, we're just here momentarily. And if we can preach, like, or just grab onto that from somewhere, wherever it may be, and just put it here on this earth for a little while. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the way I see it with all types of art. Cause I love photography as well. Like we like shooting, we like creating the music video sets. You know what I mean? We like, I learned special effects. Like, so for that video Luna that you brought up earlier, that was the first music video that we did. And it's so funny the way that worked out, because it was supposed to work out. I was going to film two separate video, or actually one video. And we had two different sets, and it fell through, started falling through.
Mm-hmm.
We had a crew, we had a casted and everything, and it just fell through. It was just me and her now. So I was so I was like, dude, what should we do? And we had that idea to like put special effects and paint it up and make it like an alien, you know?
Yeah,
that's trippy. I couldn't believe that you brought that up right now. I'm like, that was really cool.
Yeah, no, like I mentioned to you before the show, I was like, you know, when the first time that I was like, okay, who is Kid Barrett? I was like, there was that fucking Luna, right? Luna video?
Yeah, Luna.
The Luna song? And I was like, dude, this is fucking trippy. Like, the alien makeup, like, I think you had the ears, the eyebrows. Like, I was like, oh, fuck, that shit.
So
shit
the funny cool. thing about that, we got a friend of ours who shoots, and I don't really talk to him much anymore, but at the moment, you know, he was a friend, and he helped us out, you know? And so it was, I slimmed the crew down, and I was like, let me work on this, and just, I put most of the money that was gonna, you know, eventually go to all the crew and all that stuff into just like the smallest I can do it, but the most professional that I can do it. You know what I mean? So I went to a special effects store in Burbank, and the guy literally taught us how to do it like the day before, I think. He was like, you do this, you get this adhesive, blah, blah, blah. And like, he wasn't even being like rude or trying to like oversell me things, you know? Mm-hmm. He was just kind of like, this is how we do it in the business, you know? I'm like, oh, dude. And he's like, we told him what we were going to do in the desert and stuff. And he's like, well, this glue will hold, you know, better under sweat and stuff. So, because we were there for a couple hours, like four hours, you know? And so we drove from LA, grabbed my buddy. I got him in the back of the car, got her. We drove all the way to Salton Sea. Mm-hmm. And then there's one rest stop right before, like, there's a bunch of little stores and gas stations and stuff. And I parked there, and I did like an hour of make of special effects on her.
Oh, to prep, yeah.
I turned her into that alien, bro. I did that with her help, obviously. Like, but I turned her into the alien. I was like, oh, man. And so now we had an alien, and we were in the if anyone's been to Bombay Beach, they know, man, it's an experience, man.
Yeah, that shit is fucking trippy.
It's so, it feels like if a bomb, like an atomic bomb blew up there.
Yeah, and it's just like a savage land.
And it's just quiet. But and there's a cool history to that place, you know. It sucks that it couldn't work out. Mm-hmm. But they were trying to build something in the 50s, whatever, and it's still, some of the stuff's still there.
Yeah, like the, like the old casino. There was like an old fucking casino somewhere, I believe.
Have you heard a little bit about the art scene that's going on there?
As of right now?
Yeah, there's there's a lot of events that happen there, but that's why you see random pieces of art that are just left behind, because hold like
that makes sense.
Like biannuals and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And actually we've been wanting to crash one of those because so really funny, there's a lot of cool things out there. Like there's a, in the video there's this like spacecraft, mm-hmm, that we were able to climb into. And it's just like the people who design these things, they just grab like old planes and stuff, put a bunch of crystals, put a bunch of disco balls on them. And it just looks like, what happened here? You know what I mean? Like, who touched this, yeah, you know? And so while we were working there, filming the video, this guy rolls up and he's like, he's the owner of all like basically a bunch of the land there. And he's like a big artist. And he just like rolled up, was like, can I take a picture of her really quick? He was like, so he pulled out his phone, and he started taking pictures of the alien. I was like, oh, cool. He liked it, you know? And he's like, oh, yeah, that's my plane you guys were on. And like, he's like, I do all the things here. You guys should come. And yeah, he creates all the stuff. And if you've ever, there's this really cool moon thing in there. If you ever go at night, if you ever have the chance to pass through there at night, creep into Bombay Beach at night, you will not regret it. There's was one street. There's these like cool disco balls, but yeah, I digress.
People need to get through the fucking part where that looks so sketchy. Because when I went in there, I was like, dude, this looks, it looks sketchy. It's just,
it's sketchy. And you know what sucks is like, I think there was a community of locals, and I think artists started moving in there.
Oh, okay.
So and they kind of, you know, they're kind of butting heads right now, mm-hmm, because it was just like a town of like, I don't know, like 100 or 200 people or something.
Yeah,
it's so small.
Because if I remember, I'm sure I remember this is the correct spot, but the Salton Sea kind of also smells like sulfur, no? Like
it's very,
very strong.
Yeah.
Like egg, like rotten egg or something, yeah, like.
Straight up rotten eggs, you name it, dead fish, and the yeah, flies trippy. Are crazy. So that's all the elements the we were working with while we were there, you know? But honestly, I went, so did I shoot the cover? We went back, mm-hmm, I think, to shoot the cover. Might have been before. I don't remember. But we shot the album art there for my first EP as well, just because I don't know, man, like it, the heat, like you're saying, the heat, the sweat, the environment, yeah, just kind of like, and we got the perfect shot there, you know. And so I love that place. It's really creative. It's,
yeah, like, that's fucking cool.
Cool little getaway, you know, in the middle of the Salton Sea.
Ew. yeah, because it's like one of those places that you think it's just completely deserted and nothing
shooting,
going on, you know.
But for shooting, that's kind of one of my favorite things. Like, yeah, I kind of like to seek out the places that like people are overlooking a little bit, mm-hmm, you know, like, oh, like these pipes that are sticking out of the wall, you know what I mean? Like, so just, and the way you're saying, like, sometimes that's what that those areas feel like when you're driving by them in the road. Mm-hmm. It's like, why would I stop there, you know what,
yeah,
I mean?
But exactly.
So I kind of, we do that sometimes. I've even gotten my car stuck in sand because we're like, oh, we're in the ride, you know.
Oh,
I'm trying to adventure. I'm trying to adventure too much. I'm like, oh crap, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, it's just like, it's like you kind of have to, you know, travel. It's like that cheesy
learn.
Ass fucking thing.
You learn.
Yeah.
Every time, you know, you learn from new experiences. So it's kind of,
yeah,
cool.
I'm like, now, right, now you know not to go into sand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, or like to check for soft sand. Yeah.
Check for, man, soft sand.
But yeah, the music videos, like right now, most of them have been produced by us. Actually all of them, and we're an in-house thing, you know. We edit it, we color grade it, we do whatever we can to make it as professional as possible, you know. And so yeah, I mean, it's kind of fun, like you're saying, like it's just that drive that I'm like, I want to put a song, I want to record a song, I want to put it out, and I want the music video to look like this. You know what I mean?
Dude, that's fucking crazy.
And you know what's funny? In a band, it could clash sometimes, you know, mm-hmm, and it does sometimes. Like, that's why bands kind of always have this like back and forth going on, because
I mean, you have to handle or manage fucking,
or also see the visions, you know, like what you're saying, handle.
Oh, okay,
handle.
Okay, see what you're saying.
So like, see, everyone has to see the vision. Like sometimes, mm-hmm, it's easier when you're kind of like doing it alone,
yeah,
too.
Of,
you know,
course, yeah. No, I mean, I've had the opportunity to, you know, before this podcast, I used to do another one for a few years. And it used to be with some other, like, two of my homies. But it did, you know, again, like you said, clashes happen. Not clashes, but like just differences in the way you guys want to approach things.
Exactly.
So it's like, okay, and then it's easier to kind of just step out on your own you know, you have more freedom. Everything at that point, you know, everything falls on you and you have to be accountable for everything, exactly, for what you do and what you don't do.
And that's, it's a little crazier too. Yeah. Like, and you're the only one that's like, if something doesn't go through, it's basically you.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you have no one else to blame, you know?
Exactly. And I feel like in a sense that kind of does bring some sort of maturity to your work ethic. Like you mentioned earlier, like you're like, holy, okay, this falls on me, man. Like if I don't release this episode and if I don't get this, it's because of me. Totally. Same thing with you, right?
That's the drive. Yeah. Like right now I'm like, oh man, I haven't put out a song. You know, like you said, we were talking about my last release and I'm like, dude, I got to put out a new song. And but what I like about live shows is I get to test out the songs and like see, oh, should I sing it this way? Sometimes when I'm on stage, I get like, I don't know if you've ever heard about that theory where like, when atoms are being observed, like they just act a little bit different.
Yeah. When you look away, they're fucking,
And if you're by yourself, you're kind of just vibing by yourself, you're doing your own thing. But then as soon as you're kind of like in front of an audience or something, your atoms act a little, and that's kind of, I totally go by that, you know, and like, and I kind of just let it take me, you know, take me away, you know, and yeah, dude, like,
dude, that's crazy.
It's pretty crazy.
I can't imagine that feeling, dude. Like I mentioned earlier, you guys are walking in, I'm only in the room of three people, and I was dude, I get a little nervous. Like,
well, here's the funny thing, man. Like when I started writing poetry in like eighth grade, and like, I was nervous to go up and read it. Like I would actually shake, you know, while I was up there, my voice was like, you know, like a quiver. But like I felt like that the words that I was writing were like, you know, they had a little meaning and stuff or whatever. So I feel like it wasn't until like high school when I actually tried to get on stage that one of my teachers told me like, if you're going to get up there, like you're going to, it's better to really fully try to show your gift and then to like kind of weakly like, if you try to like find an escape or a way out, it's not gonna come out as it would when you're just trying to really show your talent to everyone. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I don't know what, how to, if I explained that correctly, but
it made sense.
You know what I mean? You're giving me some good shit.
Yeah, it's those fucking diamonds, man. Those Persian diamonds.
But so he told me like, if you're gonna get on stage, do it. Don't just get up there and like make an ass of yourself. Because I was, the first time I got on stage, man, I was like, it was a Doors song. So what the guy would do, dude, so I could tell you this story. So, well, for me with music's always been around, you know, we're Latin. Every party has the jams, I mean? And I still listen to all those songs now. And now you listen to them with nostalgia. So I've just always been around music. My family, my dad would always listen to music. My mom had her cleaning music, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so it's every like, fucking morning. Like.
You know what I mean? And every morning to clean. So my family was Christian. And so I would go to church growing up and just watch them play instruments. And I think that's the thing that I kind of like really gravitated towards, the band. Like, what's the band doing? You know what I mean? Because if you've ever gone to a Christian church, like the band is a big part of the whole show, you know, the whole service, you know. And I'm not religious anymore per se, but I respect all, you know, all religions. And that's why, like, I can talk about these memories fondly. I'm like, I was really staring at that band, you know what I mean? So my cousins, like, they picked up their instruments and my cousin gave me my first guitar from church, you know. He was like, it's so funny. He gave me like a little first act from Toys R Us. You know those
First act. I do remember that.
And he was just like, okay, learn your chords on this. And if you can learn your chords on this, I'll get you another one. And I was like, oh, cool. So I had like a goal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'll learn my chords. You know what I mean? So I started learning my chords. And sure enough, he's like, okay, I have this other little guitar here. So he gave me my first electric guitar as well. You know, it was a little Washburn Lion, and it's so, you know how like Squire is the lower version of Fender, Lion is the lower version of Washburn guitars.
Yeah, I kind of remember those brands because I remember my fucking what's it called, one of my uncles was like, you want a guitar? And I was like,
and they're not too bad. Yeah, they're like,
yeah, they're pretty cool.
They rip, you know, like that's where I started playing like Pink Floyd songs and stuff. Just jamming out with my buddies, and I started off on this like super small little amp, just you know, messing around. But for me, it was just about learning, you know, trying to learn this and that.
Damn, dude, yeah.
And learning how to read, because I really wanted to learn how to read music. My sister, here's a funny story. She grew up with a piano, like in school. And so I wanted an instrument. Like, mm-hmm. they got her a piano, you know, like, what? And she got classes in school and stuff. And then when I went to ask for an instrument, I was like, okay, cool. So she got a piano, you know, I'm going to get something. And my parents were like, no, because that didn't work out with her, you know? I was like, what? Are you serious? Like, so the piano was just sitting around collecting dust, you know? And so that was around the time when I wanted to play guitar, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, get me a guitar, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, man, what I got to do? They're like, and I was already kind of like, during that time in high school, I was taking up little summer jobs and stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was like, they're like, save up money, you know? You want a guitar, save up money. And I was like, man, you guys are rude, you know? But I really wanted it. You know, I wanted something that was my own, something that wasn't given to me, just, you know, or
something that you worked for and like,
something that I could call mine. Like, you know how guitar, if you know any guitar players, their relationships with their guitars, man, it's like, that was my first girl, you know? That's Midnight Wine, my guitar, you know? So I saved up some cash. I went to go get my guitar. And so that teacher from school, he helped me out, dude.
To learn how to read the music?
So here's the thing. I'm skipping ahead. So in school, I started just trying to find as many music classes as I could. Mm-hmm. You know, so there was like a little theory class on Saturday, and I'm like, okay, cool, let me go learn theory, you know? So I started learning piano, because I was like, you know what? I'm also going to pick up that piano that's gathering dust, you know?
Oh, that's right, the one that they had gotten him.
And that ended up going into my bands, dude. Like, that piano was used for like my garage bands later, because I actually learned how to use it. So, but I was like, I'm going to learn, you know? Yeah. I started going to Saturday schools and just taking up as many, like, oh, there's a Latin jazz class. Sign me up, you know?
Oh,
like,
damn, man.
Oh, bongos, like bongo. Like, yeah, uh-huh. I know how to play bongos, congas. Like, yeah, dude, because like...
Damn, dude, you went fucking deep with the music.
I just really wanted to learn everything I could learn about it. As much as I could, you know? As much as my attention at that age would allow me to, you know? Yeah. So I went in and luckily... the classes were kind of like, you know, they were mixed with all levels of people, which is totally cool, you know, because mm-hmm. they're just offering their services. But for the people that really want to learn, it's there, you know.
Okay.
And they pick up on it too. Like, they're like, hey, this guy's a little more advanced than that guy, you know. So they start putting us in separate rooms.
Mm-hmm.
So I got put in a room with like two other guitar players, and I knew my chords. Remember, like I told you, I had already learned my chords. And I was like, okay, so I sat down with two other guys. One was just strumming a chord. The other one was playing an arpeggio on it. And then the other person was like playing one note bar chord or something, you know, or like a power chord. And that was the first time where I was like with three other dudes, like, damn, we're playing together. Like, this sounds really cool, uh-huh. you know? So at that moment, dude, this other guy who was like a TA, he wanted to start like some sort of like school of rock thing going on in high school. I went to Bell High, by the way.
High
School. Yeah.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Yeah. I graduated 2011. Yeah.
2011. Yeah. Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, because I didn't graduate from Bell because I moved to a different high school, but I was there.
You went to Bell, dude?
I was supposed to be class of 2008.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I think my sister might have been a couple years before. Yeah.
Oh, shit. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Trippy, so I went to Bell.
What track were you?
Fuck. What track? Track B, I think.
Oh, B track? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Wait, what track were you?
I was in C track. Most of my life, I was in C track, dude. Because I lived in that area. Like, I grew It's so weird. I grew up C track, and then they changed. Uh-huh. You know the tracks. It's such a funny system. But you end up growing up with those people and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. Because outside of that, you wouldn't recognize anybody.
Exactly. And you're like, who? And then later they merge you and stuff, and you're like, oh, crap. It's like, I didn't know this person. And they, like, were just growing along you. Oh, shit. You know?
That's crazy that you went to Bell. That's fucking cool, man.
So this guy walks in, right, while we're strumming our chords, and he wants to start. He just gave us, like, hey, I'm starting this class.
Uh-huh.
If you play any instrument, like rock and roll instrument, like a bass, a guitar, a drum, just if you want to sing, just come. Just come hang out, you know?
That's cool.
And it was so cool, dude. Like, I was like, this is fate, you know?
It was happening
like,
at school?
It happened at the Saturday school that I was going to.
Oh, okay.
So he went there to find, you know, musicians, just to tell, because in high school at the time, you know, around that time, you would always see a guy, like, either shredding in the morning, you know what I mean? With just one guitar.
Going hard, yeah.
Going hard, yeah, like, playing riffs. And then sometimes you'd hear like a bass coming from like a classroom in the jazz class, you know?
Yeah.
Or like, and then there was drummers. Like, so there was a lot of musicians walking. There'd be people just walking around with drumsticks.
Dude, I remember that.
Yeah, those are drummer. That's a drummer, you know?
In the back pocket.
Yeah, you know what I mean? There was a lot of cool. So I think he noticed that and he really tried to just get all those kids in one room, you know, see what he can do.
I think the one cool thing that I like, that like a fact of Bell, was that the guy from Slayer, what's his name? Mm-hmm. Tom
Araya.
Yeah. He went to Bell High School, and he went
to Bell.
I was like, I always fucking, you know,
in the lunchroom, they have a mural of him, man. It's so cool. And I would always be there, like, getting breakfast. I'm like, damn, Slayer, dude.
Yeah,
like,
sick. That's fucking,
you know,
cool.
What I, yeah, dude. You got to be proud of that one for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Whenever somebody asks, I'm like, nah, we have a mural. Yeah, it's fucking Tamaraya was there.
Yeah, bro. And I wonder if they've painted any new people, you know, because like some people, we've had some alumni, dude.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. No. Oh, wait, I'm Bell High School. Yeah. I was thinking about my old high school, because that's another high school, dude, in the city of Carajé.
So long story short, he put us all in the same room. He showed us Zeppelin videos. He's like, you know, like, it was so just like literally School of Rock, dude. Like,
we had fucking cool.
Mondays was like for music theory. Tuesdays was like music history.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesdays we would actually like go play. You know, we would actually get on stage
for the school
and try to play. No, he would have us in a rehearsal room. We would meet up in the film guy let us meet up there. He was really cool. And he would let us rehearse in his class after school, you know, and just a bunch of kids just making noise at first, you know.
Yeah.
But dude, he created a lot of hunger in that at that time, and a lot of the guys are still making music. Like, I could think of a couple names right now that are still playing. You know what I mean? So I'm like, wow, like, he inspired a lot of people to just open up their musical passion.
That's cool, man, because that takes a lot of effort in that person and in that individual's self, you know, like,
totally,
you need to take the time from your day to fucking come and be with the kids, man. You know?
He was putting in extra time, and eventually, you know what sucks, like, he tried to keep it going, but it was hard, man. It's hard for one person who's not being funded to help these kids out to be like, hey, I'm about to start putting in my own time now. You know, it's really hard, man.
Yeah, I think at some point during my high school, maybe middle school time, which was like early 2000s, 2002, 2008, around there.
Mm-hmm.
I remember there was budget cuts in schools, that they were cutting art programs and music programs.
Right.
The classes were just being like wiped from the fucking curriculum. And I was like, dude, that's fucked up, you know, because, you know, people, there was no form of expression for people to fucking, outside of their fucking history and shit, like basic classes, you know? And it was one of those things that made you think, like, how many people did it create? How many people's creativity did it cripple during that time?
And the arts will always go first for some reason. You know what I mean? Like, it's really tough on the artists.
Yeah, and especially in these communities, I would say. Like, it's one of the first things to fucking go.
And you know what's weird? I was going to Bell High School around the time of the scandal, the Bell scandal. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
There was a really big scandal there. Where the city council members were making more than like the president.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Fuck. Yeah. And they were living it lavish while we were in dark auditoriums trying to make music.
Dude.
So, you know what's weird? That program that he created is what made the school start paying attention to, like, hey, maybe we should fix this auditorium. That school is like super old. You see if you look at the class, the you know what I mean? Like,
the buildings.
The books, the buildings, and the class painting, the murals, the class murals that are on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
They date back to like 1914 and stuff. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, class of 1914. It's like, wow. So they were running on that old auditorium, man. And like, you know, a lot of the people saw us performing up there because we started getting better and better. So what I started talking about him because the guitar, man, I told him I want to get a guitar, you know, and the school at the moment had a nice Pearl drum set. It had a Fender Telecaster and a Fender Strat. For some reason, they gave us money. They gave him a little grant, you know, and he was like, I'm going to get them good instruments, you know, so they could play. So that's what we were jamming out on after school, like some pretty cool instruments. And I fell in love with the Telecaster, man. Like, right away, I was like, whoa, I love how this feels, you know? And then I'm a blues, believe it or not, you know, I'm a blues guy. Like, I love blues. Like, that's what he also taught me was learn blues and you can learn anything else.
Yeah, yeah, because everything, I mean, at least in the sense of rock and roll. I mean, not just yes. rock and roll, but it goes back into right. those roots.
Traditional American music, you yeah. know what I mean? Yeah, it dates, but we're still sampling those things.
I know, low-key, nowadays, I mean, I love the music nowadays. You know, it has its own flavor, but like me growing up, like I used to be in the punk scene.
Oh, right like on.
Punk scene, air quotes, people.
Yeah.
Like one of the punkers.
Yeah, punkers, huh? Oh my God, my sister.
Hey, you're the rockero, huh?
Hey, you're a punker.
You're a punker.
I haven't heard punker in a long time, man.
Yeah,
man,
I mean, I used to go to the Allen Theater. There was a place in mm-hmm, Southgate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. On Tweety, yeah. Uh-huh. So I caught the last fucking few years of, you know, fucking punk shows and all that
stuff. Place was lit for a while, man.
Yeah,
like,
that place.
It was like anything goes type energy over
super,
there.
Super, I think, rich underground culture that it yes. had. And it brought out, it was one of the areas around here that just really brought out that community, you know, fucking. Right on. I mean, of course, they were rowdy.
Yes.
There's no denying it, but it was still cool. It was just like that fucking straight, like, anarchy fucking. Yeah. Just, you know, it was fucking cool, man.
And that's where you kind of like, is that your stomping ground? Like Southgate?
Yeah, Southgate. Maybe? Well, I mean, I'm originally from like Cudahy. Okay, so cool. Like I've been there for the last fucking like 27 years or something.
Okay.
Like, yeah, because I got, 27 years. But I grew up around that area. So like my early high school years were just like, you know, trying to be a punker guy, like trying to be the punk and trying to fit funny. In. So I used to go to the shows there.
You were raising hell, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was a little desmadroso at some point. So, you know, so at some point I was like, you know, kind of moved away from that. I mean, I'm still into fucking the music.
No, but you do it in your own, in a different way, probably.
Yeah. Now. You know, like
you're desmadroso. And like, I feel like that's kind of what you're doing with your podcast in a way. Like,
and yeah, I'm gonna raise that's my hell. Way of saying like, hey, I'm still staying true to that fucking young punk inside, I love you know, that. Or something like that. You know,
I can see that. I totally see that.
And it's like there's this thing. I don't know if you know this band, The Addicts.
Are you kidding
okay,
me?
All right, hell yeah, all right.
My baby got my nose.
Hell yeah.
Wow, wow. Yeah.
So there's this video there, I think it's like Viva La Revolution. They have clips of him just being in fucking the city, right?
Yeah, I've seen that.
And video, he goes like, punk is not a style. Mm-hmm. Punk is an attitude. Yeah. And I was like, dude, that hits hard because, you know, punk goes outside of just the style. It's,
exactly.
It's the character, the attitude behind it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, to try and... to say like, hey, fuck you to these certain things that you don't feel like they're
exactly.
You know? But so to me, that always stuck around. So that's
I love
why
that you brought him up.
Yeah,
The Addicts, because he's a big influence on like just being a frontman. You know?
Yeah,
what
yeah,
I mean?
Exactly.
Being
so a front guy, fucking full
whether
respect.
It takes makeup or you know what? Because when I first saw him, I was like. First of all, it leads back to like I love Clockwork Orange.
Yeah,
and they were inspired by it. You know, the logo and everything. And like we were just rewatching something on Clockwork Orange, how it's mm-hmm. still true today, man. Like, what, you know, just kind of the brainwashing through society and all that stuff. And I'm just like, that movie still stands, you know. It was crazy.
Yeah, you know, definitely one of those again influences. Like, the fucking bunch of bands branch it out from that.
Yeah, and it's about being punks, you know. Like you're saying, like fighting the system.
Yeah,
or whatever,
you know, and it goes outside of again just the whole style part. So that's what stuck to me always, and that's how the attitude that I kind of carry sometimes with. Certain things, you know.
Like, but I love that. I love that you brought The Addicts.
Yeah, man. You know, so yeah, for sure, a big part of my stuff growing up as well. So that's why I can relate to certain movements or certain
right
thought, you know, thoughts that people have or conversations, because you know it goes outside of just what makes you feel comfortable and you
totally.
Know, you know, whatever it may be. You have to challenge it and you have to fucking say, hey, like fuck, I gotta, you know, stand up for what you believe in type
totally.
Of thing, you know.
And I feel like that's kind of must be. I feel like all artists kind of have a little bit of that in them. You know?
Yeah,
like
they
little punks,
a little
you know?
Punk in there. Exactly.
Yeah, dude, because you have to be like, you kind of have to be like, well, fuck, you know, not doing it, or like, you mm-hmm. know, or what you're telling me to do, you know.
Even if it's as simple as like breaking stuff within your family, like you said earlier, like
yeah,
they tell you, like
it's tough.
Yeah, you, well, what are you gonna do? Fucking art, like why are you painting?
El dark, los dark. Okay, get it said dark.
Porque, you know, like it's like all this stuff, and it's
oh,
like.
Yeah. Dude, like my, you know, my, because my family is heavy evangelical, man. And that's mm-hmm. like, it's really like, it's, how would I say? It's very strict, you know, like they have a lot of rules, like don't go to movie theaters and stuff like that. And I'm like, what? You know, like I want to go to the movies with my friends. I want to go to the, you know what I mean? Edwards. But they're like saying like, no, like you can't go. And it's like, that's where I kind of started straying away a little bit from it. And mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, I can't do basic things with my friends, like you know what I mean, or I can't listen to, you know, Slayer, the guy who went to my high school, you know what I mean, like I. So it's, it's about separation, you know, like I'm not super religious. I like to play with symbols and stuff because mm-hmm. that's what I like. I like symbolism. I like, you know, just kind of putting, sending waves out there with like, dude, could you imagine like when you look at a cross, you know, or when you look at a star, when yeah. you look at things, like these things move you, you know what I mean? In different ways. But I feel like it's people who don't know what they originally, what symbols were originally were, yeah. or, you know, how easy it is to make a symbol, you know, and put your own power behind it is like, it's pretty interesting. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. We definitely have some weakness for things that are just like you said, just symbolism. Yeah, like there's symbolism. Something powerful. Depending on what it is, it can carry a heavy, like message, whatever.
Totally. And like, I don't do that, you know, in any wrong way. Like I'm very inspired by like Ozzy and shit, yeah. you know? And I'm yeah. like, dude, he's, you know, the Prince of Darkness, but he wears crosses. I'm like, what? You know, when I was yeah. little, I've been, you know, I just love all that stuff. I've been I was a pain in the ass, man, because like they're super Christian and I just wanted to, you know, see what the fuck was out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you want
to
rock out. Yeah,
I
yeah.
want to rock out, man. And like, it was really anti that. And mm-hmm. to the point where, like I said, my parents kind of fought me getting a guitar a little bit, you yeah. know? And they were like, no, like, ponte a hacer otra cosa, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, do something else. And I was like, and I was kind of a skater too. To like, so I grew up like wanting to grow my hair out, like all this shit. And like, my clothes would just disappear sometimes because my mom is so strict, you know?
Dude.
And I was like, dude, I can't do what I'm doing. And I feel like that's why I'm so into style now, because like, I can actually like, get something, hold it, and craft it, yeah. and make something with it. You know what I mean? And I love styling and just like feeling good in your own clothes and your armor. You know what I mean? Like
right now, you brought up a point that you said your clothes disappeared. It's funny because yeah, this one time I had a bunch of band shirts. I used to, you know, casual tees, fucking, you know, all these old school to me. And to me, where they were modern-ish.
I still rock a casual tees shirt.
You know, so yeah, like yeah. I went to the fucking shows, got the clothes and all that stuff, and then. I had this unfortunate moment, you know, again, I was a desmadroso, so
right.
I was influenced by some friends to go to the fucking Curaçao and be like, fucking, hey, steal a fucking Game Boy game. And I was like 14 years old and I was like, fuck yeah, I want a fucking the new Charmander game.
Shit.
So I fucking went, I go to the store.
Right there, the Curaçao on Pacific or what?
On, no, it's in Southgate by,
on Southgate.
By the rip, yeah, fucking the Target. There's a giant
gotcha,
Target.
Gotcha.
So I
yeah, that's right, that one.
Yeah, I show up, did my thing. Walk out, got caught, got arrested.
Oh my
fucking,
God.
They took me to the back room, like, give me the game. Uh-huh. Took the fucking mini
like
Game Boy
Bart
game.
Like Bart Simpson, huh? Like, got you like Bart. I just saw that episode the other day. I was like, wait, there was one where he got arrested for stealing yeah. a video game.
They called my mom. She's crying, man. Like, you're a criminal. So uh-huh. I'm like, fuck. And I get home.
You went through that whole experience.
Yeah, man. I get home. My dad takes out all my band shirts, and in front of me, he just starts cutting them.
How old were you?
I was like 14.
Oh, yeah.
He cuts them, and he's like, nunca vas a ir. You're never gonna go to another show again. I
have the funniest,
bro.
Dude, you ready? Yeah. I have the funniest story, man. My mom burned. So when I was little, the first person I started getting into was like, I got into like Linkin Park, but I also was like into Eminem and like Dr. Dre okay, yeah. and stuff. Like I for somehow, my mom used to hang out with this lady, and she had an older son,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, hey, yeah, you like this? Take it, you know. Yeah. So I got Slim Shady, the Marshall Mathers EP.
That was a fucking good one. Hardcore.
The 2001 Dr. Dre.
Dude, that's one of the fucking bangers.
Bro, I still have that, you know? And I got, what else? And then I just was listening to like Linkin Park for my friends and stuff. I was like, okay, so those are the first thing I got into. Christmas came around, and I think I was probably like 8 years old or 9 years old. And I had just gone, so my friend took me to see 8 Mile. I was over the moon, you know? Yeah. I was like, oh, dude, I love all this. Hell yeah. Christmas came around. I got 20, my uncle gave me 20 bucks, and I went to go get the Eminem show and like the 8 Mile soundtrack. I was yeah. like, yeah. Like, you know, I came home. I thought I was a little badass kid, yeah. you know? I was like, hell yeah, I'm gonna bump these. I got home, I played them, and as soon as it starts, my mom comes in like, what are you listening to? And I was like, what the hell, dude? She got my CDs, bro, and she burned them like tortillas, bro.
Oh,
yeah.
They just melted.
They just melted
they
away.
They get warped and shit.
And you know what's funny? At that time, when CDs were the only thing we had, you know, and I wasn't going to get another 20 bucks anytime soon, you know what I mean? I was like, dude, I was crying, man. Yeah. I was like, oh, I'm never going to hear those songs ever again. You know, I was like, oh, no. And looking back at it now, I just laugh so hard because I'm like, I really thought it was like over. I was dude, this sucks. Like, it's gone. Like, the media is gone. Yeah. And I'm like, I didn't, you know, really think I could just go get another one, you know, or like, but that's the kind of place I grew up. Like, my mom was hardcore, man. Like, she was just didn't, if she didn't like something, she's like, she'll let you know? So I'm like, dude, growing up for that, you know, for me as a creative, it was really tough. Cause like, you know what you're saying, a shirt that's looking a little too diabolical, it's gone. Yeah, you know what I mean? Or, oh, the clothes has too many holes. You know, they like that not to have you with holes for some reason.
Yeah, right.
You know, your mom doesn't like to see you with holes. So it's like, those shit will disappear. So I think that for me has been the biggest part of just growing up, you know, just like being myself, being able to like determine like what I can
embracing
do.
It too.
Do my own thing, you know, and like also everyone kind of just has to respect who the other person is, you know?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, that's really what we all can do. You can't, you have no control over the external.
Like,
you know?
I ended up pushing through, still bought my guitar. Yeah. I got my Telecaster that I wanted, you know, and I still play that to this day from high school because I'm like, dude, like, I just, this is who I am, you know? Like, yeah. And it's funny because I have been wanting to buy another guitar, but I there's a theory about that too. Just like, the more guitars you buy, the more, like, avenues you can take, you know.
Yeah,
because but like I said, it's that's my blues, baby, you know. I just like throw it on and I could always write something on it, you know. So
dude,
it's just about following, you know. And I'm glad I pushed a bit, you know.
Yeah, man. No, hey, again, it's we had to, you know. It's, you have to fucking, if it's gonna be you, you gotta fight that pushback. Like,
for sure.
That's what it is, you know. Like, and then that's how you really learn who you are, in a sense, you know. I mean, I'm sure that you haven't figured out exactly who you are either. You're still evolving.
No, of course.
And we're all going to keep doing it. So mm-hmm. It's just at this point, we're a little bit more aware and we can be like in the moment while still thinking like, all right, I got to do
dude.
This shit.
And all the experiences, but, like you said, getting caught up and like, you know, and little experiences like that, like...
Yeah,
you learn and you kind of move forward.
Hell yeah, man. We're all punks in a little, in a fucking way, you know? So
yeah,
fucking
dude.
Keep doing that. But dude, thank you so much for coming out, man.
Dude,
it's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure. And I would love to come back if I could.
Hey, man, whenever you're in town, just let me know. We'll plan something out with the schedule, but fucking...
Yeah, dude, I'm awesome. Sounds good. It was a great time, man.
Thank you. And Sarah, right? Thank you for
my girl Sarah,
chilling
man.
Here.
Chilling and having a session with us. Dude.
For real.
Thank you also for that.
If people want to check out your music, what's the best way to find you?
I'm on all platforms. Kid Barrett, KYD. I'm on all platforms. Go ahead, look me up.
Yeah.
A bunch of music videos on YouTube and Spotify, SoundCloud. Actually, like whatever you listen to, I'm probably on.
You're
it,
there.
So, yeah.
Damn, that's awesome. Well, thank you again, man. And I hope you guys get home safe when you guys go back out there. And,
thank you, man.
We'll see you guys soon.
Thank you.
Everybody else, good night.